This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 106. McMonagle here with you. So let's go over that eighth inning again, because everybody, you know, that's going to be a major talking point. To the last caller, I can admit when I can have a chance with facts to relook at stuff. So he wanted to send Reed Garrett out there and then Stanek back out there. Because obviously the eighth inning starts at, the sixth and seventh were pitched very nicely. Reed Garrett does get the benefit in the sixth inning of a runner thrown out trying to steal. And I thought Alvarez had a good game behind the plate and at the plate. And I have more of a problem with Manaea not being allowed to pitch the sixth than anything else as far as pitching-wise, I would think, until the end of the Maton performance. But Reed Garrett pitches the sixth inning. Stanek comes out for the seventh. He throws Maton in the eighth. And a lot of people say, as the last caller did, stick with the hot hand, bring back Reed Garrett for the seventh. Then you could have Stanek for the eighth, or bring Stanek back out for the eighth after his seventh. And I was talking about how, you know, you're asking guys to do things they haven't done. Now, obviously, when I say that, I know that there is a chance that they have done it at some point. But typically, when they're at their most successful, they're not guys who do it more than once. Reed Garrett has done it more than I would have guessed, 10 times. Stanek, not as much. Reed Garrett's a guy who has come out for multiple innings 10 different times over the course of the season. So that is someone who, if you were going to bring out for another inning, if you were going to trust the hot hand on a short bullpen, I suppose bringing Reed Garrett out, who got off to an incredible start to the year, and I would venture to say most of the 10 would have happened in that first, you know, beginning part of the year when he was unbelievable. But so I don't know if he's done it as much recently. Two in September, that's it. Most of it other than that was done in the beginning part of the year when he was one of the bigger surprises in all of baseball, pitching dominant out of the bullpen. But he's a guy who has done it, and you could have definitely stuck with him. Stanek less, not as much. I still don't know if giving guys multiple innings I just think it's an easy thing to say. I think it works less than you think. And I have no problem with getting rid of Reed Garrett after seven and after six, excuse me, and going to Stanek for the seventh. And then I don't have that big of a problem going to Maton. He's been really good for them. I know he's pitched a lot, but I have no problem starting the inning. But when you look at how the inning played out, he gives up the home run to Churio to start the inning. Obviously, now the game is tied, and that's always a flag for me. I don't like to go too long. Now you have to because of the 3-1-3 batter minimum. So, but I feel like he's doomed for this inning. I do agree with that. And then he gives up the hit to Perkins, And then you get the double play. So that's the now you have the three minimum. But to me, now the bases have emptied, even though the ball was hard hit on the double play. Now I'm trying to get through the eighth inning without having to use another reliever. It's when Adames gets the base hit, that's where you have to pull him. Me and Fleas were talking about it. He said it. He's 100% right. That's the moment you have to pull him. You can't allow him to face Mitchell. Now, listen, it's not a big-time hitter. He's in as a pinch runner early in the game for Gary Sanchez. But you've now given up a home run, a single, a hard-hit ground ball that you were lucky enough became a double play, and now another single. You are not missing bats. Everybody's hitting it hard. You got a runner on first in a tie game. That's the moment where I don't care who it is. Dan Young, whoever you're going to bring in, you can't let Maton face Mitchell. And he gives up the two-run home run. And that's the game. So I don't think Mendoza had a great eighth inning. I have no problem going to Maton. And the game is tied at that point anyway. I'm not going to use Diaz after I tie the game. And ultimately, I look back at all the missed opportunities offensively, and that's where I put most of the credence on the game. But if we're going to critique the manager, which is everybody's favorite habit when a big game is lost, I think he could have went out. He could have let Minaya go out for the sixth. I suppose he could have allowed Reed Garrett to come back out for the seventh, and he definitely should have pulled Maton before he gave up the home run to Mitchell. 888-808-1019. Mickey in Westchester. What's up, Mickey?
Yeah, Mikey. Hey, how's it going?
Oh, that's my fault. It says Mikey. That's my fault. How are you, Mikey?
All right. Mets could have won them better. Couple things. Quick rant. I was wondering what about why Winker lefty versus and put in JD Martinez when Winker, you know, played pretty well. Maybe he got hurt from yesterday.
Yeah, I think he's dealing with something. And I think after JD Martinez came through with the hit, I think they just. If you hear how much he means to the team, I think they want him in there. But I don't disagree. I think now tonight you got to go Winker.
Yeah, got to go Winker. Quick one: Pete Alonso better become Daniel Murphy if he wants to save himself in New York. I agree with you. I don't know why he took out Minaya so early when he was, he wasn't typical Minaya, but he was still getting the job done. And with our pen so short, should have kept in him for one more. And then to the pen, what happened to David Peterson? I heard that he didn't.
Correct. He cut his bullpen short.
Yeah,
yep.
Because in order to use him tonight, though, so why wasn't he a possible option? And then that brings in to tomorrow. My last opinion is, so is Quintana only going to be doing, like, I'm guessing, three or four innings, and then if he craps the bed, I guess they're going to roll with Peterson. Like,
yes.
They could have brought Peterson in, but I guess they're only going to do Quintana for two rounds of the lineup and then go from there.
Yeah, know? I mean, listen, I don't know. I think Mendoza in the postgame said that Peterson would not have been ready for tonight. There are throw days, and you work the bullpen. They have him set up for tonight. They have him set up for the, in case Quintana doesn't have it, they can go to Peterson. I don't know where you were going to bring in Peterson. I mean, he's not really a reliever. You have him, if you felt like you had a lead.
Neither was Schilling or Randy Johnson.
Yeah, I know, but those are game seven performances you're talking about when the game is, like, and it's late in the game, and the bullpen has been pitching a full series. Like, and he's not. I mean, that's the other thing. He's not Schilling and Randy Johnson. Peterson's had a nice year, but like, what makes you think Peterson is a better reliever than Maton? Or what makes you think he's a better option there than Stanek or Reed Garrett? Like, yeah, Randy Johnson is a better an option than anybody they have in the bullpen. He's Randy Johnson, the Hall of Famer. Peterson's a guy nobody wanted to see ever again pitch for the Mets before this year. I mean, we've seen Madison Bumgarner come out to pitch it. You're talking about playoff heroes and legends. Now we're going to put David Peterson. You're wondering where David Peterson is because he's supposed to be Schilling and Schilling in the big unit. I mean, he's David Peterson. He's the guy you have in the bullpen in case you need him, not for someone to go to the eighth inning with a lead. Crazy. Craig in Spotswood. What's up, Craig?
Hey, C-Mac, what's going on? I like the Rocky IV analogy, by the way. Yeah. There is no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
But there is no tomorrow, buddy. Listen, let me make a few points. First of all, if you're going to build a sandcastle, you're not going to take a teaspoon to carry your dirt. You're going to use a bucket. They're hitting singles after singles after singles. They were 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position.
Yep.
I don't care if Joe Torre managed, the great Joe Torre managed this team, this game. First of all, there's no saying if you put Stanek in, he wasn't going to get lit up or give up a home run.
Right.
Or Buto or Garrett. Like I said in the past, if my aunt was my uncle, I would call her my uncle. If horseshoes, his age horseshoes, almost counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Right, I got you.
At the end of the day, you were 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The reason you lost this game, one, this is the playoffs. It's uncommon for you to win by one, where one run's good enough in the playoffs. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, unless you're the Royals beating today, I guess, the last 2 days. Baltimore,
yeah, that's right.
Who has been, they've been dead for the last 2 months, that whole team.
Yep.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're not going to win, but one run is not going to be enough. The Yankees have a powerful lineup. Yeah. I'm sure Aaron Boone doesn't want, oh, let's just go to ninth with one run and we'll be fine. No, you got to capitalize on other people's mistakes. If this was a game where the Mets couldn't get runners on base, it'd be a different conversation. The mother of all screw-ups in baseball is leaving runners in scoring position and walking people and giving extra chances.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm with you. They're 2-for-11 in this game, runners in scoring position, no doubt. Pete Alonso had bad at-bats when he had an opportunity to hit into a double play. Iglesias struck out with the bases loaded in the sixth. They had their opportunities to blow this game open. And they had, I think they're one hit shy of just demoralizing Milwaukee and ending this thing. I do believe that. And they came up short. And the bullpen, you know, blew it in the eighth inning. I think Mendoza stuck with them too long. They probably should have made it out of there still tied. And who knows what could have happened. They might still be playing. I don't know. But no doubt. When you look back at this game, the offense just didn't score enough runs. And you look over the course of the series, let me just double check it. They have, I know they only have one extra base hit, right? So they have 8 hits last night. And they had, how many the night before? Hold on. They had 8 hits last night. And they had 7 hits the night before. So they have 15 hits, 14 singles. Like that, you gotta do damage. You gotta slug. And it worked on the first night. They had that incredible fifth inning where it was just, you know, base hit after base hit, opposite field base hit through the hole after opposite base hit through the hole. They scored 5 runs and opened up the game in an 8-4 lead, and they were able to coast. And they had Buto available to them for multiple innings, one of their best relievers, and they were able to finish the game. You're going to need to drive the ball over the fence. You have to hit home runs in the postseason. The biggest fallacy that I've ever heard when people, it typically happens with the Yankees, but, oh, when the postseason comes around, the home runs disappear, and you got to be able to hit singles and move runners over and all that stuff. And yes, clearly, in big spots, you need to be able to have productive outs and hit sacrifice flies and come through with the 2-out hits, no doubt. But you also have to drive in runs by hitting it over the wall. Like, home runs still play in the postseason. They're still there, and they're still needed. It's tough to get a pitcher. You get a great ace. Now, the Mets and, you know, the Peralta is not an ace, but you start getting into the, you're going to see, you know, some real excellent pitchers. You're going to see Gerrit Cole. You're going to see, you know, Reagans with Kansas City. You're going to see, obviously, what Philadelphia throws at you. You're going to see some of the better starting pitchers in this sport. It's tough to have a 5-hit rally and score 4 runs. You're looking for a bloop and a blast. And right now, again, the Mets aren't, I don't know, maybe the Mets could win this game without Pete Alonso, but the Mets aren't going to get to another World Series. The Mets aren't going to win another championship if Pete Alonso isn't doing anything. Chuck in the truck. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's going on? one, some of these points, I'm glad you cleared up the Reed Garrett thing, because with some of the stuff, I just don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, no, Reed Garrett can go multiple, but that's, I mean, I don't like going to guys, especially if they don't do it a lot. And Reed Garrett has done it twice over really the second half of the season.
How many times has Edwin gotten six out saves? I mean, it's not something that they're going to do every day, but when it's needed, it's needed. And yes, the runners, the hitting with runners in scoring position was terrible. And I will also say, you know, I said it when we didn't at the deadline, when we didn't get a bona fide lefty and we, you know, settled for Danny Young, that was a huge mistake. And even if we get by Milwaukee, you're going to go into a series with Philadelphia where you're going to be facing not Mitchells, but Harpers and Schwarbers.
Right.
And if you happen to get to the Dodgers or something, Otani's and Freeman with no type of lefty,
yeah,
that is going to be the nail in the coffin for this team. Stearns was moronic. It was idiotic for him not to address that. But Mendoza doesn't manage. He's a game watcher. He doesn't manage. I can't tell you the last time I've seen a hit and run, a double steal, runners get advanced, even a pitch out when people are running crazy on us, anything. Never. And tonight you've seen the odds on favorite for manager of the year, Pat Murphy. Like when Sanchez got on, immediately pinch runner, and he tried to get a runner into scoring position. Now, had we had done the same thing while Acuna is sitting there rotting on the bench, and had Acuna gotten a second and Marte gets the single, you get a run there. You know, or at least when Marte gets the single, you have first and third. Leaving J.D. Martinez in, idiotic. He never does anything or adds anything to the game to put pressure on the opposition or do anything. It's just like, I'm just going to sit here, spit sunflower seeds, and if the guys get it done, they will. And that's bullcrap. He's a terrible manager.
Yeah, well, listen, here's a couple. If you pinch run with Acuna in that spot in the game, you lose him for defense late, and that's obviously something they're concerned with because they did it again. Because that's the DH spot. Now he's hitting and he can't be.
That's something that I'll give you what you said earlier. Vientos is not that bad of a fielder that he absolutely must come out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Marte is not that bad of a fielder where he absolutely must come out of the game. Just like you said, there's no guarantee what's going to happen. Vientos could be over there at the hot corner in the ninth inning and the ball not even come to him.
Right.
So to sit Acuna there and say, oh, we're not going to use him because we just need him to be a defensive replacer is idiotic.
Well, I don't. But you're assuming with the benefit of hindsight that base hits happen. You know what I'm saying? Like you have all, and then
you gotta be. But look at Murphy did. I'm not assuming anything. I'm going to try to do something. I don't have to assume.
Yeah, but you.
That
yeah, but
slow
you,
as molasses.
Have the Mets?
And he's gonna clog up the bases.
Yeah.
So when I get a base runner late in the game, I need to try to get a guy in the scoring position because, like you're just saying, a one run lead is probably not going to be enough.
Right.
So I need to push the issue to get a run, especially on a night where I see that my team is struggling to get runs across the board. Hello? That's when a manager comes in.
Yeah, but
if Dave Roberts doesn't steal second base, Chris, the Red Sox don't.
You're talking about the ninth inning down a run with Mariano Rivera on the mound. This is a situation of the sixth inning. But not everything's the same. This is the sixth inning where you scored eight. This is the sixth inning of a night where you scored eight runs the night before. You do have three runs in this game. You've had opportunities left and right.
Yes.
Like, I mean.
But you see that the guys aren't. And I'm not just talking. I'm even talking about a regular season. I can take you all the way back to Anaheim when they had men on first and second and they were struggling, no double steal, and you had your two best base stealers with Lindor and Nimmo. Mendoza never pushes the issue. Give me a time when he's done something. Give me a time where you could say, man, he put on that perfect hit and run call. Oh, man, that double steal right there.
I understand. Yeah, but there are plenty of times where he's made great decisions with this team. I mean, come on. Stop it now.
I'm playing this guy versus that guy. I'm talking about in-game managerial decisions.
Yeah. Pinch hitting. Yeah, literally. Yesterday when he pinch hit Winker.
Alvarez for Jeff McNeil.
When he pinch hit Winker?
Winker started the game.
I'm sorry, when he pinch hit J.D. Martinez for Winker.
Yeah, but that's common sense.
Oh, it's all common sense.
That's a lefty righty.
Yeah, sticking.
Winker doesn't hit lefties well.
Sticking with
and a lefty comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, put JD in. That's common sense.
All right, well,
that's not a miraculous.
No, I'm not saying miraculous. Neither is a double steal. But how about sticking with the starting pitcher yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Now he should. Okay, yeah.
Severino, when everybody else probably wanted him out of the game, he sticks with him. He gives you the fifth and sixth, and then he goes to Buta.
We really didn't have a choice coming off that doubleheader.
Okay, and then, all right. And the manager of the year, Pat Murphy, as you like to say, pulled his starting pitcher and absolutely got killed for it.
Yeah, he did. But so, okay, I mean, what about Manea not going? What about leaving Maton in, like you said, until the wheels
No, he's made, he made mistakes.
At least after that single, he should have came out.
And agreed.
Buta, I mean, Diaz wasn't even up. So once
Yeah, I'm not pitching Diaz once I give up the home run. But I hear what you're saying. Because I'm not throwing Diaz in a game that now I'm tied. I don't want to. I got a game tonight that I need to win. I can't. Now you want to get to the ninth extra innings of a tie game, and waste Diaz where you know, considering what he pitched Monday. If I don't win that game, now I'm in a miserable spot for tonight.
Because like you said, we don't know what can happen in the ninth inning. Did you see Pat Murphy? He brought in Devin Williams in the ninth when it was tied.
Because they can't lose the game.
Right.
It's a must win for them.
Of course they
did. And what happened? We have tonight. Pat Murphy doesn't have that luxury. Yep. Pat Murphy loses that game yesterday. They're going home. You can't expect managers to manage the same way. Williams hasn't pitched. Williams is fresh. Diaz is coming off Monday, needing him for how many pitches to get through two innings?
Right. Okay. I mean, I'm not even saying just Diaz. I'm saying just in general.
I agree.
Right, I feel you. Once he got that double play, okay, cool. And then, like you said, when Reed, because this is what you do, because none of us can see the future, right? So when Reed Garrett comes in, he throws minimal pitches, and he has a lockdown inning, I don't know what I'm going to get from the next guy.
That's true.
So I would stick with him then. And then now, if Reed Garrett handles the sixth and the seventh, now you bring Stanek in for the eighth. Or even if you go to Maton and Maton gets in some trouble, I'm bringing Stanek in to get me out of the trouble, or vice versa.
Yeah, I mean,
but why are you wasting bullets when we don't know what the next guy is going to do?
But
I got something good right here, I'm not just going to trade it in and say, well, let's see if he has a good night. You already got a guy on the mound having a great night.
No, I understand that, but it's also, it's one inning, and it's Reed Garrett. I mean, it's not, I understand what you're saying, and I don't necessarily completely disagree, but... Like, this is how they've handled the bullpen all year, and Maton's been good. If Maton gets three outs, no one's complaining. Mendoza's up for manager of the year. Look what he's done with this team. I'm not saying he was perfect last night, but let's not make it seem like now Mendoza's been doing a terrible job all year because you can give me a situation in Anaheim where he didn't double steal. Like, the guy has dragged this team from 11 games under 500.
That was just one. After a players only meeting by Francisco Lindor, who played like an MVP. I don't even remember. A lot of people talk to me, because a lot of people keep talking about this 11-game turnaround. The first 2 months of the year, we didn't even have our whole team. JD Martinez was not with this team.
Right.
Jose Iglesias was not with this team. Mark Vientos was not with this team. David Peterson was out. Hauser was terrible. McGill was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice when we got our guys back in our lineup, that's when this team started turning around. It's just like automatically attributed to, Mendoza started doing all his magic.
Our
lineup came together.
Right.
When Iglesias was in AAA, we were minus 34 defensive run saved. We were plus 58 once he joined.
Oh, I don't think anyone is saying that the players didn't play better. Like, it's not just Mendoza flipping some magic switch. But, I mean, it's always about the players. I think we understand that. But I still think the manager did a pretty damn good job this year, no?
He knows how to handle the New York sports scene. I will give him that, because obviously his time with the Yankees and stuff like that, where a lot of guys might have folded during that time period, Mendoza knew how to keep his head on. But I'm still waiting for, like I said, the in-game decisions, and you know, when he's pushing the envelope and forcing the issues. The guy that hit Mitchell got thrown out at second, but who hit the game-winning home run? See, the baseball guys are always going to let you know when you make the right decision. And Pat Murphy made the right decision bringing a pinch runner in and trying to push the issue. Even though he got thrown out, the same guy came back and hit the game winning home run.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, have the Mets not won enough games for you? Because they've won more games than anybody else over the last 3 months. Like, you make it sound there's a major problem because he never pushes the issue. They've been winning.
But I think we are being held back by not having that elite manager that aren't going good for us.
Buck Showalter liked to push the issue, and what happened? Like, you know,
I think Buck was past his time anyway, you know. But I don't think we have that guy that, like you said, when things aren't going well, when the guys aren't hitting, and we don't have that guy that's going to come out and manufacture that run.
Yeah, I get it, but like you're going to praise one manager for that, and then he had a ridiculous rock that cost him game one by not sticking with Peralta. Like it's so he pinch hit a guy.
Peralta wasn't pitching a gem.
Oh, stop! And was Manaea pitching a gem? Peralta got the last nine hitters out. He took him out after four innings. Come on, that was,
how many
it was ridiculous.
Did Peralta give up versus Manaea? Manaea gave up a leadoff home run.
Yeah, Manaea gave him two runs in this game.
Then after that.
Yeah, no, listen, listen. Sorry, Pat Murphy was in the first two games here. Pat Murphy, without question, cost his team a loss a lot more than Mendoza cost his team a loss. And thank you for the conversation; it was fun. But and you make some valid points. I understand the idea of sticking with the hot hand, but we always assume that he's going. And I'm telling you, if Reed Garrett goes out there for the second inning and gets lit up, what we're going to say is, I don't understand. He went out there and he did his job. He pitched his one inning. Why would you send him back out there for the second? Why would you have him go sit down and then come back out? That's what we'd be saying. If the bullpen gives up runs, the manager made a mistake. Like, that's pretty much how it works. But overall, like, I'm sorry. It's a tough sell to tell me this manager hasn't done a phenomenal job. And again, pushing the envelope, we act like the team hasn't been scoring runs. How many runs did they score Monday night? Or the first game of the doubleheader, they scored eight runs yesterday. They had scored three runs. The decision you're talking about happened in the sixth inning, not the ninth down and desperate. This is the sixth inning with a lead. You want to run yourself out of an inning what if he does that double steal and gets thrown out at third pinch runs Acuna and he tries to steal third base and gets thrown out? You want to run yourself out of an inning with a lead in the sixth inning? Like, sure, if it works, great. If it doesn't, it's stupid. He definitely made mistakes in this game. I would have, or at least in my opinion, I would have stuck with Manaea another inning, no doubt. I disagree with him. He certainly, after the single to Adames in the eighth, should not have left Maton in to give up that home run. Totally agree. Mistake. I don't know who he brings in, because I don't think you bring in Diaz into a tie game. Diaz, especially a game that I don't need. I know many Met fans might not view it this way. That's a game they didn't need. You know how I know? Because they're playing tonight. And it would have. I'm not pitching Diaz in a situation in a game last night that they don't need, where now I'm making him unavailable for tonight, where even if he does his job, I don't guarantee a victory. The only way Diaz goes into that game last night is if I know if he does his job, I either keep the lead or win the game. That's it. I'm not bringing him to a situation where he's phenomenal, my offense doesn't score, and now I'm on to the next guy. I'm pitching, you know, Young out there, still tied. Like, I'm not doing that. I can't waste him for the must win tonight. So I'm not going and bringing in, you know, their closer. He needs that game. It's a different game. The Brewers have to approach that game differently. They cannot lose. They would not be playing tonight if they lost. The Mets and Brewers were not in the same situation last night. They will be tonight. But what you did with Devin Williams when he's been rested in a game that you can't lose is not the same thing as what they should have done with Diaz. And again, it's great to be aggressive on the base path. I get it. They're trying to score runs desperate or they go home. The Mets are holding on to a lead in a game where if they lose, they play the next night. You want to run into outs on the base path? You want to take out the defensive replacement? Now, again, is he a little bit too aggressive with the defensive replacements? Especially when you know Vientos is without question coming up in the ninth inning. Vientos was supposed to hit third in that inning. To make that defensive replacement when you know Vientos is coming up in the ninth inning of, at best, a one-run game where you're only up a run, yeah, that's a bit aggressive. Marte wouldn't have been up. It would have taken you know, I think Marte would have been up seventh that inning. Taking him out makes a little more sense. Vientos, I get it. That's a bit aggressive. And he has been aggressive with the defensive replacement, no doubt. But I'm sorry. I thought yesterday he started the guy who got, like you say, oh, it's easy to, I started the lefty, you pinch at the righty. Yeah, but he's been dealing with a back issue and hasn't played in the last three games before he gave him the start yesterday. And the guy gets the triple in the second inning to give him to tie the game at two. Like, he gets no credit for that? Like, that's part of it, too. It's not all about hitting runs and double steals. Like, he started the right guy and then was able to bring in Martinez when they brought in their lefties out of their bullpen, and Martinez comes through with the two-run single. Like, that's good managing. You want to say that's obvious? Okay, it's obvious. It's good managing. He started the right guy, and then he was able to pinch hit the right guy in the big moment. And then he stuck with Severino when a lot of us would have taken him out of the game after his shaky start, and the fifth and sixth inning of Severino, able to get them to Budo, won them that game. You could argue Mendoza won them game one and Murphy lost them game one. But we're going to praise one guy for a pinch running situation because you like aggressive managers.
He had one of my favorite traits in a caller where every time you pointed out the flaw in the logic, even if just to extend the conversation, he just moved on because he couldn't fight with you. Even like the Acuna one. Acuna is 0-for-1 in steal attempts in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Super small sample size, but you put him in the playoff game, he's going to successfully steal second, or he's talking about maybe even third when you're talking about the double steal with him and Marte.
Right.
Foregone conclusion. Yeah, of course they get there safely. Yeah,
I know. I mean, maybe he gets to third on a base hit, or maybe you wasted him if Marte wraps into a double play. And now you've wasted him, and J.D. Martinez is out of the lineup. And now you can't use him later in the game for defensive replacement if you score runs later, or you get into a spot in the ninth inning where you want your best defense out there. Now you can't use him. 888-808-1019. Quick break, more of your Met phone calls. There's a million things to get into at this game. Anytime there's a loss, these are big games. This is why. You wonder why I want the Mets to continue on? Because I want to break down how stupid the manager is or how bad Pete Alonso is. I love this crap. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
And I may move to England.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I do just want to say one thing about the broadcast, because I never get too hung up on the broadcast, but they pulled in the ninth inning to be doing an in-game player interview from the dugout and miss pitches or miss a pitch, or like I think they just got to him as Iglesias was flying out. Like, can we stop with these player interviews? They're an absolute waste. An absolute waste. Whether they're talking in between innings, while they're talking while the game is going on, while they're from the dugout. I remember even I'm a Yankee fan. They, like, the ESPN broadcast had Gerrit Cole on for like an inning and a half. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Stop. And now you're missing plays so you could talk to a Milwaukee Brewer. Met fans have to miss pitches against their team in the ninth inning of a playoff game.
A two-run game. It's not like it's a seven-run lead in the ninth inning.
No. If Iglesias gets on, here we go. Stop it. Enough. We don't care. We all need to come together as a sport fan community and let these networks know we don't give a damn about these stupid interviews. We don't want this. We don't need a player mic'd up on the field. We don't need to hear about, you know, his father assaulting his coach or whatever else, that crazy story from the Red Sox, or what we saw last night and possibly missed time. No one cares. No one cares about coaches at halftime. No one cares about players during the middle of the game. Stop with these interviews. They're atrocious. No one cares. Nothing productive is said, ever.
You don't like Christian Yelich talking for like 10, 15 minutes, God, a guy who hasn't played in months?
I know. What are we talking to Christian Yelich for? The guy's had back surgery. What's it like? The first question, what's it like not being meaningful? That's the first question of the interview. The first question of an interview you're going to make me sit through during a baseball game while game is being played, the first question of that interview is, how hard is it to not be meaningful? Then why are we talking to him?
There could have even been one useful question of, hey, you have a back injury. Yeah. What is Francisco Lindor feeling right now?
Yeah, exactly. Something, no. Hey, how hard is it to not have an impact in this series and be useless to all of us, but we're still going to talk to you because you're a name? My goodness. So stupid. I can't take it anymore. These interviews stink. They're mic'd up on the field. Those interviews stink. They're trying to play baseball. The answers are like, they're ridiculous. No one cares. Like, the only time I ever watch him is I'm hoping one of the teammates, like, hit them in the head with a cup or something, because sometimes the teammate will, like, play a joke on him. But, like, the actual information you get is pointless, and we almost missed baseball because of it. Like, the Mets, this is life. These games are everything. They're down two runs in the ninth inning. We're missing pitches, so we could talk to a player in the dugout about how he feels or what it was like. Oh, my God. I can't take it anymore. It's just so stupid. Christian Yelich. I mean, why on earth are we talking to a player who's not going to play? And I understand he's Christian Yelich. He's not Babe Ruth. It's not Shohei Ohtani. It's not Aaron Judge. Like, he was great for like a two-year span 4 years ago. My goodness. Anthony in North Bergen. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say I'm tired of all these Mets fans blaming the manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mets are overachieving. The manager has nothing to do with it. He's doing a great job, but this team is just not ready to, you know, to take that next step. To continue to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and go to a World Series run.
I don't know. I mean, what makes you? They lost a game. What, you think they were going to make it all the way to the World Series without losing a game?
No, it's not that. But I don't think this lineup is ready. This lineup has not been ready. Everyone believes this lineup because of the last few weeks of how hot they've been. But this lineup is not ready to go against the Phillies, the Dodgers. They're not ready.
They won three out of four the last time they played Philadelphia. They came from playing the Atlanta Braves, their nemesis. They're down three runs. They come back, score six. They blow that. They come back, score two. Like, I mean, I'm surprised you're so down on the team.
I'm down on the team. I think they're overachieving. I think Luis Severino is a great pitcher. He's not an ace like other teams have.
Aces. I think that's fair. I think the Mets have a couple of solid twos, and yes. You know, I mean, even Manaea, he's pitched like it, but going into a playoff series, I would not count on Manaea as an ace. I agree.
It's just tough to compare this team against other teams in the playoffs right now. I just don't think they are a World Series team right now. So I think a lot of fans are very hard on Mendoza right now when his players are not, you know, they're not caliber. His team's not calibrated to be a World Series team right now.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job.
I think you're right that he's doing a great job. He's done a great job this year. I mean, I don't know who. I think the Mets are absolutely World Series caliber inside this year's baseball. I definitely think so. I mean, the Kansas City Royals just moved on and beat the Baltimore Orioles and are going to take on the Yankees in the ALDS. Are they World Series caliber? Everyone seems to think the Tigers are because they're hot over the last month and took down the big bad Astros, which we're going to get to. We're going to have some fun. But the Mets aren't World Series caliber? I think they are. I think the Mets are World Series caliber. Who's better? Who's clearly better? Philadelphia? Okay. They can't beat them. They just won three out of four. They can't beat Philly? Sure they can. They can't beat the Dodgers, who choke every year in the postseason? Sure they can. They can certainly beat the Padres. And they can beat Milwaukee, but they're going to have to do it tonight. But yeah, I don't... Are they overachieving? I don't know. The last team to get in the postseason? No, I don't think they're overachieving. I think that's about what they are. They're the sixth seed in the National League. I don't think they're overachieving. I think they've earned that. I think they're good enough to be that for sure. And in this game, we're seeing, I'm sorry, this thing is a crapshoot. I was going to get into this later with the Yankees, but this Tigers thing and the Royals, this is an absolute crapshoot. It just is. I was listening on the radio to, I think, the Kansas City Royals call. I forget which game I was listening to, but the broadcaster was just like, these playoffs and this playoff format is designed to have the best teams not win. Like, that's what it feels like sometimes. It's an absolute crapshoot. Are you telling me the Tigers, as much as we think the Astros are down this year, right, and the lineup has not been as good, and certainly the pitching hasn't been as good, but are you telling me the Detroit Tigers are built better to win in the postseason than the Astros are? Do you think they're a better baseball team? Do you think that they have skill sets that the Astros don't, that make them more suited to play in this time of year? Or are they just playing well and won two games? And if they played 10 times, the Astros might win six or seven. I don't know. Like, this is a crapshoot, man. It is. And that's not an excuse for why the Mets might lose this series or an excuse why the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. It's just the facts. I mean, the best team should win and your best players should come through. But, I mean, if the Tigers just took down the Astros, the Tigers were awful for most of this year. They have one good starting pitcher. Their entire team is filled with platoons. Like, it's unbelievable. They have a lefty starting in Framber Valdez the first game. As soon as he comes out, it's like a whole new team comes in. It's literally like it's like a line change in a hockey game. They go, all right, here comes the left-handed hitting lineup. And none of them are that good. And yet they just beat the Astros in two games. They're ready to take on the Cleveland Guardians, and I think a lot of people are going to pick them to beat Cleveland. It's about playing well. That's it. It's about playing well in the moment. It's about coming through with the big hits. It's crazy. These playoffs are crazy. Alex in the Bronx. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Thank you.
Listen, that the last caller just sounded like Mehta. No energy. Every time he pitches, there's no energy at all when it comes to him. I don't know why he started. When he got ripped with Atlanta, that's one. Alonso, my God, Alonso.
Yeah.
Alonso, every time he's there with big moments, double play, man, on second and third, he gets hits again, no hits at all. And then the defense, Mendy is a great coach. I'm not saying nothing about Mendy, you know what I'm saying, how he's been coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But we win on defense way too early on the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Thinking that we were going to win. I think that was a bad call. Even though I'm not talking bad about Mendy.
But no, I hear you. But I think there's something to be said in a tight game is especially if a guy you know, like they know. They have the lineup right there. They're well aware that Vientos is going to hit third in the ninth inning. And best case scenario, best case, worst case, you're down and you need offense. But best case scenario is you're up one run heading into the ninth inning with Diaz about to come out for the ninth inning, who just blew a save the last time he was out there. So, like, you need offense. I was surprised in that spot. Now, look, if you're up three or four runs, maybe you take the chance. But to know you're, at best case, going to be up one run and he's hitting third in the inning and he's one of your best hitters and you'd like, God forbid, you hit one over the wall and he's one of the guys who could do it. I was surprised they went to the defensive positioning at that point.
I think we should have won at least Garrett one more inning. Just one more inning. They see what will he do the next inning.
Yeah.
Maybe if he gets up one more hit. If he gets up one more hit, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But just Garrett shut
it down. I suppose.
You know?
I think the bigger one is Manaea. Manaea had the record, or whatever the streak was, of going at least 6 2/3 over mm-hmm. how many starts in a row. Like he had 84 pitches or something like that. Like there was, he had made it through the top three. He was facing 4, 5, 6 who hadn't had a hit off of in the game. Like I was surprised he pulled Manaea when he did. I don't have a problem not going again. Reed Garrett gets an inning. Like, these guys, they get an inning, that's it. That's their job. That's typically what they do. Are there circumstances where they do more? Sure. But it's typically what they do. If you get one more inning out of Manaea, now you have it lined up. Now you have Reed. I mean, they probably go to Maton anyway. That's the thing. Like, Maton's been their eighth inning guy. Like, it's not like you avoid Maton if you get one more inning because you're probably going to pitch him anyway because he's been your guy. And he had off yesterday, and you trust him. They trust him. He's been great. And they said he liked the matchup of the top of the order. And cheerio. I don't know if you think maybe he's an aggressive young hitter and, you know, he's throwing the kitchen sink at you, Maton, mixing it up a little bit, getting you off balance with, you know, maybe a dead red fastball pitcher you're more worried about because the bat speed. But, like, they were probably going to pitch him anyway in the eighth inning. He's been their eighth inning guy. The only issue I have is I would have went another inning with Manaea, and then after the double play and Maton gives up the base hit to Adames, that would have been the end of it for me. You can't let him face Mitchell. Alphonse, what's up, Alphonse?
What's going on? How's everything?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. Not doing too good, actually. I had about 20 people in my backyard, big Mets fans. We had the champagne on ice, watching the whole game. And then the eighth inning, after Stanek throws 10 pitches in the seventh inning, you roll out Phil Maton. Like, you can't do that. That's a big mistake.
I don't.
Against the top of the lineup?
He's been their guy. You make it sound like he's not been good. He's been way better than Stanek.
But you can't trust him to go against the top of that lineup. That lineup is no joke, especially Stanek just coming off 10 pitches. He's throwing 99 to 100 miles an hour, and then you go to Phil Maton, who's throwing – he was throwing volleyballs out there.
He didn't have –
he was throwing batting practice.
Once you saw him pitch, you knew.
Adam Ottavino, and then they have Ottavino warming up in the bullpen. They were throwing the game away. You can't do that. You got to go to your best guy.
Maton is their best
Stanek
guy.
Stanek goes – 3 outs, 1, 2, 3 in the seventh inning.
Yes.
Why not give him another chance? Why not give him another chance in the eighth inning?
You could have.
Why go straight to Maton?
All right. You could have. I'm going to take a break here. Fliegelman has some special numbers that he's cooked up in the kitchen, and we're going to find out a little bit about Stanek and multiple innings and Maton and what this bullpen has looked like over the course of this last 2 months where they've had the best pitching staff in baseball. 888-808-1019. Nick Monagle here with you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Continue. Let's go, Met fans. 888-808-1019. Big game tonight, too. I know they lost last night. I know they blew it in the eighth inning. But, hey, there's an opportunity to win the game tonight and move on to take Philadelphia. And I still think they can do it. In fact, I believe they will. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com